Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
We never thought we would live debt-free, but God taught us His way of handling money.
We never thought that we could feel like such failures as parents. But God has been so good to meet us, even in our hardest times, even on the toughest days, and show us that He cares more about our kids than we ever could, and that His grace is enough to carry us through even those hard times. There's still struggles. Parenting is never going to be easy with any kid. But God is right there in the middle of it, and His grace is enough.
I never thought I would live a life without being controlled and abused. But God brought people into my life that showed me what His love looks like.
I never thought that my life choices would lead to my son's death. But God has never stopped chasing me, and He's been with me this whole time.
I never thought I would walk away from the Lord, but God is so much bigger than all of my failures, and I am so glad that He brought me back home.
Man, those have been some powerful stories. We have seen these amazing stories over the past few weeks of how God has moved in people's lives. We have seen how He so faithfully pulled people out of darkness into the light. But this is only 5 stories of 5 million people that live here in our valley. And I know there's stories in here, but there's, when you look at how many people have had that "but God" moment in their life and how many people haven't, it's saddening. Because we live in a state, in a place that it's so dark. But what if God desires to give our city a "but God" moment? You see, I was thinking, and as I was driving into work this week, and I thought, God just sort of, He gave me this moment. God, Jeremiah, I want to give your city that statement. See, what if God wants to use you and your story to give our city the "but God" story that you have? What if your next conversation at school, work, coffee shop is the beginning of something bigger than you can ever know or imagine? What if we are on the verge of seeing a city changed for God? You see, the devil hates anything that would change towards Him. And he will use anything and everything to distract us from doing what God has called us to do. He will even use things that look good and look right to distract us from what truly is what God wants. You see, I think God is getting ready to do something. I feel He is getting ready to do something huge in our city here in Phoenix. What if the reason Phoenix makes the news isn't because of some wall, isn't because of some crazy teacher that does something they shouldn't be doing, but what if the reason our city made the news was because there was revival happening, because Christians were getting off their butts into their world and making a change for what is good? What if that happened? You know what would happen? Darkness flees when light invades. Be the light. Darkness flees when light invades. Be the light. Because as God's people, we need to be done sitting and start moving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this morning. God, I ask that You would move in this room today. God, that You would stir in our hearts. Lord, make us uncomfortable. Uncomfortable in this place that we are. That we might move towards You, and that we might allow You to use us to impact the lives around us, Lord. Make us uncomfortable in our comfortable state, Lord. Make us ready to do what You've called us to do. Lord, I pray that You wouldn't just stir us, Lord, but You would stir Your people in churches all over the valley. Lord, I pray that You'd stir Your people at Bethany Bible. I pray that You'd stir Your people at Cross Church. Lord, I pray that You would stir Your people at Calvary Phoenix. I pray You'd stir Your people at Desert Breeze. Lord, wherever Your people are, stir them now and stir us here, Lord. Get us uncomfortable, that we might be comfortable with what's uncomfortable, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You see, I believe that God has called each of us to this moment in time right now that we live. I believe we are living right now in this moment for a very specific purpose, this moment in history. He wants to use you and I as part of his story here in Phoenix, Arizona. I believe that God has a but God for our city. I believe that. I believe God sees more hope in our city than we can ever imagine or think. I believe that God has put you, put us in this place to accomplish his purpose. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to Acts chapter 17. We're going to go to a few different places today. Acts chapter 17. If you don't, we're going to have it up here on the screen. You go to the YouVersion Bible app on your phone. Whatever is convenient for you. We have it pretty much everywhere. Or I'll read it to you. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 and 27 says this. And he made from one man, that's speaking of God, and God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods. God knows your lifespan. He knows everything about your life from the moment you're born to the moment you die. He has determined your life. And it says, and the boundaries of their dwelling place. God knows everything about your life. He has a plan for every purpose of it. And it says that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him, yet he is actually not far from each one of us. You see, God made you. He created you right now. He placed you right here. There's a reason God has you here. There's a reason, blah, 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 blah. There's a reason that God has you living where you are right now. There's a reason God has you working where you are right now. There's a reason God has people cross your paths right now where you are. There's a reason for it. It's not chance. It's not like, well, this is just my job. I just happen to be in this school district. I just happened. God allotted a specific place and time for you. Are you making the most of every opportunity? You see, I realize that there are some in here today that are still, as the writer of Acts, as Luke writes, some are still feeling their way back to God. Some of us, we haven't made that Jesus, that the number one. Some of us, we just haven't taken that step yet towards Jesus, saying, okay, Jesus, so what are you all about? We haven't really trusted him. And I realize that. And we're feeling our way, as the book of Acts says. We're trying to figure it out. Okay, God, can I really trust you? I mean, I see all these people do, and that's okay. But it says that at the end of verse 27, yet he is actually not far. Actually not far. You see, God has you in people's lives. Some of you in here, there's a reason you're in people's lives is because God wants to use you to impact those lives. And I know sometimes it feels helpless and hopeless. I know sometimes you feel like, are they even listening? They may not be listening, but I'll tell you this much, they're watching. They're watching. They're watching you live. And I know my kids, sometimes I feel like they're not listening, but they watch everything I do. They watch everything I do. You see, you are placed in people's lives right now. You may not realize it, but people are living in the dark, believing lies, trapped, and they don't even know it. And that might be you today. You might be believing a lie. You might be trapped in darkness, and you don't even know it, but there's something in you that's stirring you saying, but I know that's me. I know I'm stuck in the dark. I know I'm trapped, and I want to be set free. You see, God has placed you in your neighborhood with those friends, with those family, with those coworkers for a purpose. Are we making the most of every opportunity, or are we wasting our time? Are we wasting our time? This week, I was driving into the office. It was Tuesday morning. And I realized I had drifted. It's crazy. You know, there's moments in your life that are big, pivotal moments. And today, February 10th, is one of those huge moments for me. in 2015, I made one of the biggest decisions ever in my entire life on this day. And this week, God stirred in my heart and he reminded me of what he had called me to do to be a catalyst of change in our city. And it's so easy to get distracted. I got distracted with wanting to be a good leader, with wanting to work on all these things and lead a good church, lead a healthy church. And I got so focused on that I forgot the whole purpose of change and all these things. And I know we do things, but there's something in my heart that I realized I had gotten off track a bit with something good, yet so not where I was supposed to be. And I'm driving into work and I realized I had gotten distracted and I was weeping over my city. And I wondered how many of us, we drive through our city and we don't even realize that so many of the cars we pass by, those people have no hope. The city that we drive through every day, the city, the places where we work, where we go to school, where we shop, where we live. And I started thinking about how many people around me don't know that Jesus loves them. How many people that don't know the truth about who Jesus is? I was thinking about how many Christians we anxiously await for Jesus' return. So many times you hear in churches, Maranatha, you know, if you've ever been to like a churches where they just start yelling, Maranatha, please Lord Jesus come. That's good. I want Jesus to come back. But here's the result. Jesus comes back, Christians go to heaven, a lot of people are going to hell. That's the reality. Whether you believe it or not, there is a real heaven and there is a real hell. People are really going to burn for eternity in hell. That's really going to happen for anybody who does not put their faith in Jesus. That is the end result for so many people. And I think so many Christians, so many of us, we can just sort of be like, well, Maranatha, Jesus come, you know. Yes, that's good. But are you making the most of every moment before that happens? We should be living anxiously each day looking for opportunities to share Jesus' love. Ephesians 5:16 says this, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Do we realize we are living in these evil days? Have you watched the news lately? See what happened in New York and the decision that was made. Do we not realize that our days are evil? Remember, darkness flees when light invades. Be the light. If you want to make a change, it's not going to happen posting on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. I'm just going to tell you. That's not going to change anything. That will start a fight that you really don't have to be in because it's just... I mean, Facebook is probably the biggest avenue where all that happens. That's not going to make a change. What's going to make a change is you living a life for Jesus. That will change. You deciding to live a different life at home or at school or at work, wherever it is. And so as I was driving into work on Tuesday, and there's two songs in my life that really had a big pivotal changing point in my life. The first song is by Elevation, a Christian worship song, great song. You know, it's called The King Among Us. It's a great song. I love it. The second song is, it's a song called Can't Hold Us by Macklemore. Those two songs changed my life. And you could judge me. I don't care. I'll judge you back. And so I'm driving into work, and these songs back in 2014, 15, they were really big pivotal songs in my life. And I'm driving into work, and I'm listening to Macklemore, Can't Hold Us, Don't Judge, Judge, whatever. I don't care. And if don't kids, don't listen. Especially don't listen like Thrift Shop. That sounds so good, but it's so not good. And I'm listening to this song, and I'm weeping driving into work. See, God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And I'm listening to this song, Can't Hold Us. And the song, for me, it was that, it's like a rally cry of, nothing can stop what God has put inside me. But things can stop when we get drifting. And I'm driving down the 101, and I am weeping. Because I realize I got off track. Now, it was thanks. Remember last week I was talking about how you've got to have those friends in your life that are willing to speak truth in your life. Remember I said that? So I had a friend. You have to be willing to listen. I was talking to somebody last night, and she was they were just saying how there's this one person in her life, and doesn't matter how many times she shares the truth with him, he's unwilling to listen. And my son can be that way. If you're unwilling to listen to somebody critique you, you have got an issue. You've got to be willing to listen to critique. And so they're sitting in my office, and they're like, Jeremiah, we got to talk with you. And there are two people I care a lot about. And they hit me hard with the truth that I had been drifting. And all they were saying was, I feel like you were focused more on the ministry that we're leading instead of us as a person. Oh. I was hit in the face, and I cried. And then I'm driving into work Tuesday morning, listening to Macklemore Can't Hold Us on repeat. Some of you are going to go and listen to it, and you're going to be like, it cusses in that song. Don't judge me. God put the song in. I don't know why I like that song. It just sounds really good. If it was a Christian artist, I'm sure I would like it, but Christians didn't write it. He did. I'm listening to this song. God says, remember when I put in you that City View is going to be a place of change? Remember when I said nothing is going to stop that? I'm like, yeah. He goes, get back on track. Get back on track. And so I'm driving into work, and I'm like, oh God, I've got to get in. I've got to put these notes down. And because God, in that moment, as I'm crying and I'm driving into work, and I've been driving by this place called the Castle Mega Store. You might know it's off of I-17 and Deer Valley Road. It's right there. It's a huge store. God gave me a dream one time that we were going to buy it, and I'm praying it. I pray every day. I put my hands up, and I pray, not blessings. I pray that the guy would accept the Lord. That's what I pray. Every day I do that, every day on my way to work. And I'm driving by there, and I'm crying, and I'm putting my hand out, and I'm praying that God would close it, that God would give us the finances to just buy that building, because I'm like, God, you don't want this in our city. It's not good for our city. It's just to bring welfare to our city. It brings darkness to our city. You want light in our city. And so that's what I do, and do that. And so I'm driving into work, and I'm like, and God goes, Jeremiah, what if I want to give your city a but God moment? What if the whole but, this whole series is not just about one person, but it's about the city, that I want to make Phoenix a place that I am glorified. And God, and I'm so God is stirring in my heart, and I'm driving speed limit as fast as I can to my office, because I've got to put my notes down on my computer. So I'm busting in, and I'm weeping, and I'm crying. I'm hoping the guy that works in my office who doesn't know Jesus yet, I'm hoping that he's not in there, so that I don't look like this blabbing fool with tears running down my face at 8 a.m. And so I open my door. His car's not there. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I have my sunglasses on still, because I didn't want him to know I was crying in case he was there. And so I get into my office, and I'm open my computer, and I put it down, and I start typing as fast as I can. And I'm like, and I just read that morning Jeremiah 29. It was in my devotions. And I was reading Jeremiah 29. I was like, I wonder if there's, because in that he talks about the city that the people of Israel were in for the moment. And I'm like, I wonder if there's a but God moment in that passage. So turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29, picking up in verse 4. It says in verse 4, it says, this is what the Lord of heaven's army, the God of Israel, says to all the captives that were exiled in Babylon from Jerusalem. So let me give you a little backstory before we move, because I know there are some people that have no idea Babylon or Israel or any of that. So the people of Israel were God's chosen people. Those are people who live in Israel currently, okay? And they were disobedient. For many years, they just did not care about God. They kept worshiping other idols. They kept putting everything else before God, and they didn't care. And God kept warning them, if you don't change, there's going to be consequences. If you don't change, there's going to be consequences. He warned and warned and warned and warned and warned, but they didn't care. You see, I do the same with my kids. When my kids don't listen, there's consequences. There's consequences for it. And so God says, well, because you won't listen, now you're going to be in captivity in Babylon. And he tells them for 70 years. So that's the backstory. That's where we're at right here. And so the people are in Babylon, or they're going to be in Babylon in captivity for 70 years. It says, this is what the Lord of God of Heaven's army says. He says in verse 5, build homes, plan to stay, plant gardens, and eat the food they produce, marry and have children, then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away, and work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets or fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams. So here's what's going on. The people of Israel, this is telling them ahead of time before it happens. And as the people of Israel were sort of in the land, their prophets and these people that were God speakers or self-proclaimed, they're saying, hey guys, we're not going to be here much longer. God says, no, you're going to be here 70 years. That you're grounded. You know, I told my kids, like one of them lost Fortnite tonight. And I'm like, no, you lost it all day. From morning till night, maybe tomorrow if you're good. That's the consequence. It doesn't matter if Judah says, hey, you know what? You're going to get it back at 5 o'clock tonight. No, I'm like, don't listen to that false prophet. So that's what the people of Israel, they had these false prophets that are saying, hey, God's going to, it's not going to last that long. It's going to be cut short. Don't worry. And God says, no, it's not. It's 70 years. Because you disobeyed me for 490, and I said every 70, there's a whole rule, and I'm not going to get into that. God said, this is it. You disobeyed me, so you get it for 70 years. That's how long. You could say that's me and whatever, but God's trying to raise up a people that will be his witnesses for him. He says, and while you are there in Israel, or while you're there in Babylon, he says, verse 5 and 6 and 7, he says, build homes. He says, plan to stay. Build a home. Marry. Have kids. Multiply. Make it your home. And I love verse 7. It says, and work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I sent you. Now, we're not in exile. We cannot apply this straightforward to us because we're not captives. We're not in exile, but we can apply this to our lives in a spiritual way. We are here in this moment for a very specific time and purpose. God desires to use us. And I love he says, and now work for the peace and the prosperity of your city. At your place where you go to school, are you looking for peace and prosperity of your city? You see, at your workplace, are you doing that? In your neighborhoods, are you doing that? And he says, pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. And as I was thinking about this, I'm like, God, that store does not bring welfare to my city. It is a dark place in a huge place, on a huge corner in my city, and you want it to be a light and not darkness, God, because when light comes, darkness flees. So if you drive down Deer Valley Road, put your hand out and say, God, close this place. Pray the owner would even accept the Lord. I won't tell you my other prayer, but I pray two prayers, one that's for peace and one that's for losing everything. And then I continue to read. Verse 9 says, because they are telling you lies in my name. Verse 10 says, this is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. Now, remember, I had read this. God and I hadn't had a moment yet. I read it that morning in my devotion time on my couch. If you've ever been to my house, there's a corner seat in my couch, and I sit in this corner seat with my feet out with a blanket on and my hoodie over my head. That's what I do, okay? And I usually have all the lights out until my wife comes down, and then she turns lights on. She's like, that's bad for your eyes. I'm like, well, okay, sorry. And I'd read it already that morning, and I go on, I'm like, God, what did you say in Jeremiah? And then look, it says, and you will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come. But then I will come. And he says, and do for you all the good things I have promised. And I know this is totally applying to something different, but what God spoke to me in that moment is God says, Jeremiah, I have a but moment for your city. If you are willing to be a catalyst of change, if you are willing to make yourself available, if you are willing to do what I have called you to do, God says, I have a moment for you. God has called us to be movers, not sitters, not to be comfortable. God says, pray for the welfare of your city. Pray for your city. Pray blessings upon your city. God desires to change our city, and God wants to use you to do it. God says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, be ambassadors. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We are speaking for Christ when we plead, come back to God. God wants to use you. He wants to use you. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 says this. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking the Lord, hey, Lord, has the time come for Israel to be restored to the kingdom? Hey, God, is it time for us to be done having to be in the dark places? That's what they're asking. Hey, God, Maranatha, Jesus, can we go home? Hey, can we leave everything? Can everybody else just go to hell? That's pretty much what they're asking. Hey, can we go to heaven? And can everybody else go to hell? We're sort of done with this dark place. My wife right now is like, She's been reading this article about sex trafficking and how crazy it is and how bad it is in our city. And my wife and I then had a meeting with one of our outreach director about sex trafficking, and she's like, man, my heart is so broken over it. And I'm like, what if our whole outreach turned to the darkest of the dark? What if that's what we focus on? Kicking the dark out, because darkness flees when light invades. Be the light. Be the light. We're called to be the light. And then Jesus says this, he replied, the Father alone, he knows the time. He has set the time. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. If you have not been baptized yet in water, I'm not talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's a whole other message. But if you've not been baptized yet, why? As Nancy said in her story, if you missed her story, when she was baptized, it was like God gave her a new power to live a life for the Lord. It was like he did something crazy in her. When you take a step of faith to make your faith real and new and alive and in front of other people, God does something. God does something. And so I ask, if you have not taken that step of faith, if you've not said, you know what, I want to be baptized, why not? I don't care if you're 12 or 80. Don't be embarrassed. Be bold. Jesus wasn't embarrassed. I'm glad he wasn't embarrassed on the cross. He's like, man, this is so embarrassing. I'm like wearing a loincloth and everybody's looking at me. They're making fun of me. They pulled out my beard. I don't look cute right now. I definitely wouldn't post this on Instagram. I'm glad Jesus wasn't like that. Darkness flees when light invades. Be the light. And Jesus says, but you will receive power and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And Jesus says this to each and every person here that calls himself a Christian. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus came and he told his disciples, I have given you all authority in heaven and on earth. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always. God says, I have given you authority. Don't walk with timidity. Walk with boldness. And then Jesus says, go. Make disciples. I'm reading this book right now called Hero Makers, and he talks about having this dream napkin, and if you were to take your dream and multiply it by a million, can you accomplish it? And I can't. My desire is to change the city. I can't do that on my own. Cityview can't do it on their own. We've got to have Cityview. We've got to have churches planted and planted. And if God has laid it on your heart to be a pastor and to lead a church and to plant a church someday and to start a church, talk to me. Email me. I would love to help you and get you going on that path, because I cannot do it on my own. That's not what I'm called to be. We're called to multiply. That's what God says. Multiply. Make disciples, baptizing them. And Jesus says, and I won't leave you alone. I won't leave you alone. We need to make ourselves available so that God can use us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. If we could turn the lights out real quick. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says this. You are the light of the world. Can we turn the lights out in the hallway? You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. We live in a dark world. But God has called us to be the light. Many of us have hidden our lights. We're ashamed and scared because we think, what might people think? We're scared that we might offend. We're scared what we might reveal. But we are called to be the light. Look at what one light looks like. Now, if I could get each of you to take your phone out. Turn your screen on. If you don't know how to turn your flashlight, I want each of you to take your phone out. Now, look at what many lights look like. Some of you are like, how do you turn the flashlight on my phone? Now imagine if we lived as lights in our world, as people on a hill of a city that's not ashamed of who Jesus is. Imagine if we lived as lights in our world. Darkness would flee when light invades. Look it, there is no darkness. It might be dark, but darkness has fled because we are the light. Live like the light. Be the light in the world. Be what God has called you to be. Do not be ashamed of it. Be unashamed of Jesus because he was unashamed of you. Live different. Be different. Act different. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Be the light because the light is in you.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.